Hello, girls and boys. We're back for another study today on Last Christian. We're going to have a great time. We're going to wrap this up. We can talk ad infinitum about the Giants. But I just want to wrap up something today with people who say that they weren't there. But it really goes on. It's like even to today, we see the things of the Giants and actual Giants trying to be made with Gilgamesh and him finding him over in Iran and all sorts of crazy things. But that's not for us to speculate. Those are just fun topics. We're really trying to stick to the word and what it says. So, JD, I'm sure you have tons of questions.
No, you know me, David. You know me. Yeah. I've always got questions. You know, always. I do want to say this before we get started here. For those of you that might see or hear noises or whatever, my studio is under construction at the moment. So I've been moved into an office area. And so if you hear some background noise, maybe you're going to have to deal with it for a few weeks while we get the studio.
It's either that or Nephilim working in the background.
Right. Anyway, I just wanted to warn everybody about that. But go ahead, David. It's your show.
Yeah. Well, Father, we thank you for our time together. We thank you that we can explore your word. We thank you that you're showing us the truth so we can see what's out there. And we thank you for giving us insights as to what the Satan and his minions are trying to do so we know how to avoid that. So we give you all the praise and we ask for your wisdom and insights today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, and I'm looking for that insight as well because, you know, I think like everybody, when you're starting to read the Bible, you read the passages there in Genesis and it kind of goes right over your head. You know, and you might think about it for a couple of minutes, but then the subject changes and, you know, I just never really paid too much attention to it. And especially didn't know that we could take a month of shows out of it, but we have, you know, it's incredible. And like you were saying, we could go on and on and on, but we are going to wrap it today. So, all right. That's it
today is, it's primarily to dismiss the naysayers. Because the Bible calls them fools. Anyone says there is no God is a fool. It's as simple as that.
Amen.
So I'm going to call you a fool if you say there's no God.
Right.
But then they always come up with the same thing. It's like, can you come up with something better? Oh, do you really think donkeys talk? Do you really think a virgin had a baby? Mm-hmm. Yes. Do you really think there was giants and the angels had babies? Yes.
Yes.
Okay. 100%. Just because your tiny little brain can't wrap it around that idea doesn't mean it didn't exist.
Right.
And that's the problem. We in our foolishness tend to think that if we can't understand it, then it must not be true.
Right.
And the bottom line is, you know, you don't even know what a virus is. Prove me wrong on that one. You can't isolate a virus.
Yeah.
And that's a simple thing. Try and make a blade of grass. Do that.
Yeah.
And then tell me how smart you are.
Right.
But in lieu of that, for people who are searching honestly, we're going to go over some real history, not just what people, it's the Bible. It's a myth. Now, let's look at real history and other writings that talk about giants as well. What do you say?
I'm up for it. Let's go.
Okay. So let's start with the early church fathers.
Okay.
And the reason I go with them is because they knew all of these writings ahead of time as well. But these are only like half, you know, so they're halfway out of the matrix, if you would, because, you know, they obviously believe the word as well. So they'll say, oh, well, they believe the word. That's why they say it. But no, they really knew all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure you heard of Justin Martyr.
No, I have not, but you can teach me.
Well, that's where we get the term from, of being a martyr.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. Basically, people were killed because they believed in Jesus. Mm. And just so we can see how strong this witness is, here are these people, including all the disciples, and a lot of the followers from after that, even the Justin Martyr, tons of them, all they had to do was say, okay, I'm sorry, Jesus is not God, and then we don't believe in him. We're just going to trust in the Caesar. That's all they had to do to keep from being tortured.
Right.
All right, that's it. Mm-hmm. How simple is that? Oh, yeah, you're right. Caesar rules. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's all they had to do, but none of them would. But they were drawn and quartered. They were tarred and set on fire. They were crucified, a lot of them. So many different ways these people were tortured. Even like kind of like waterboarding, they would drown them and then bring them back and drown them. Mm. So many different ways, but none of them would renounce Christ.
They wouldn't break.
And that's where we get our song to from as well. I've decided to follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. That was from, I believe, an Indian missionary. Oh. And they're like, well, we're going to kill you and your whole family. And he says, well, I have decided to follow Jesus and I'm not turning back. And then they killed his kids. And then he said, though none go with me, still I will follow. Mm-hmm. And that's what he said. And then he killed his wife. And then, you know, the cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back. And then they killed him. And as a result of that, the entire village got saved because he was willing to die for it. Mm-hmm. So all of that stuff it was worth it at that point.
He knew he was going to see them all too. He knew he was going to be reunited. It's awesome.
Yep.
Yeah.
But that's what these people were. All of these people I'm talking about, they were persecuted, and they could have easily said, yeah, none of that's true, and just gone on with their lives, which actually many people did, but now they're in hell.
I saw a movie, David. I wish I could remember the name of it, but it dealt with Peter. I know that much. And now, whether or not they took license with what they were doing, I don't know. But it showed Peter bound and chained, and he was in his last days, and it showed a lot of people lined up, sitting down, also chained up and everything, and they were taking these people one at a time and crucifying them.
Yeah.
And every time they did it, they said, all you've got to do is renounce this guy, renounce Jesus Christ, and we'll let you go. And I'm not going to say they all did it, but I saw a bunch get up and say, okay, we're done. We're out of here, you can kind of understand that, but still, that's still an eternal decision any way you want to look at it.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand it if this was your only life. Mm-hmm. But it's the people who knew that there was, eternal life beyond this was different.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Justin Martyr was one of those people, so he could have easily refuted all of this. Mm-hmm. But in something called his Second Apology, he discusses how certain angels transgressed and had relations with human women, leading to the birth of children who are now deemed demons. Mm-hmm. And he states, but the angels transgressed this appointment and were captivated by the love of women and begat children who are those that are called demons. Okay. So that's where we get the confirmation, if you would. He also knew that too, because demons are not fallen angels.
Okay. Can you explain?
Fallen angels are exactly that, fallen angels.
Okay. Okay.
Demons are the disembodied spirits of these half-breeds. Mm. Okay. So they're half human and they're half angel. Oh. So since they're half human, they need a body. Because if they were just fallen angels, they don't need a body.
Right. Okay.
But they're half human, so the demons are always seeking to inhabit a body of some sort.
Okay.
Which is why they need our body.
Here comes stupid question. So all these demons, they were they're the leftover or whatever you want to say of the.
They are the spirits of the Nephilim that were killed.
Okay, that's it. I've never heard that before. So okay. All right. Mm-hmm. First thing I've learned today. Go ahead.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's what demons are. They're not fallen angels.
Okay.
Fallen angel is a fallen angel.
Okay.
And we've seen how fallen angels can appear to be as men. They can appear as a lot of things, almost like shapeshifters, which is where we get that idea from.
Yeah. Okay.
And the fallen angels, they appear to be shapeshifters and then tell you they're good. Oh, look at me. I can morph into an elephant. They just kind of look that way. They're not really that way.
Okay.
But if they're half human, they need a body.
Right.
Which is why, you know, when he threw them out of the guy in the cemetery, they went into the pigs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Because if they're not in a body, they got to hang out in Hades.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't like that.
It's crazy that the pigs ran for the water, but, you know, if you're
they were tormented.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now imagine if it tormented that many pigs, how strong that man was hold off those spirits.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, you're right. That's glad it wasn't him.
And so Justin Martyr talks about the giants. There they are.
Okay.
And then, so he lived from 100 to 165 A.D.,
okay.
Anno Domini.
Okay.
All right. Not the common era. We don't use that. We use A.D.
Right.
And then there was this dude named Arrhenius. Remember Arrhenius?
Don't, but here we go. Go ahead.
All right. So he was born in 130.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a work called Against Heresies.
Okay.
And he was... Even back then, there was heretical teachings in the church, like things like Jesus wasn't really God. He's just like the Christ appearance, you know, all this nonsense, all Gnostic stuff. So he started to write this book even 100 years, you know, afterwards, 130. That was 100 years after Christ was crucified. And so he wrote Against Heresies. And he refers to the account of the angels who sinned and produce offspring. And this is what he says. And for a very long while, wickedness extended and spread and reached and laid hold upon the whole race of mankind until a very small seed of righteousness remained among them. And illicit unions took place upon the earth, since angels were united with the daughters of the race of mankind. And they bore to them sons who, because of their exceeding greatness, were called giants.
Mm.
So there's more insight to some of the doctrines we hold, that there was Noah and it was a very small seed.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says Noah was perfect in his genealogy.
Right.
It says generations in the King James, but it's gene, generations, genealogy. It's the same.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was for a very long time because they started in the days of Jared. And that's what Enoch talked about. So, and Enoch then had his son, Methuselah. So it was like, you know, close to 900 years they're putzing around on the earth.
And David, I've got to break in for just one second here because I just saw this last week. It came out of Israel, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Where they were using CRISPR technology in mice.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about being able to edit the gene using CRISPR to eliminate certain diseases. And they called it a major moment. But anyway, that brings us back to what we've been talking about for as long as we've had the show. Is the fact that CRISPR is going to be that technology, at least in my opinion, I think you hold the same one, that what they're doing here is no different, really, than what happened in the days of Noah. The only difference is it's not the angels coming down and doing it. It's human beings. It's us doing it to ourselves under the direction
they were given
of
this technology. You know, they're sold that lie that, it's to cure diseases.
Right.
That when it's
it.
Not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was it.
You can't sell it. It says, hey, yeah, let's do this because then we can take over all of your bodies. It'll be great.
I'm going to see if I can't look that back up again and present it on our next show. But anyway, I wanted to get that out before I forgot it. I'm sorry for interrupting. Go ahead.
And they sell that to us as, you know, something good. Look, you can live a long time, 1,000 years. We can cure diseases. You know, if your liver's no good, we can, you know, fix your DNA.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is when you start taking out pieces, you don't know what other pieces you're taking out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's like oh, listen, I got an oil leak in my car, so what I'm going to do is take out that oil filter and just plug it up. Mm-hmm. Well, then you're going to lead to other problems.
Right.
So that's the issue with, you know, you're messing with the DNA, but a bigger problem, and they're doing it because they want to try and create bodies for these demons to inhabit. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then they're going to call them giants again. That's the only reason they're doing it. They're not doing it to save us at all. They're evil. Right. They, so that's a bigger problem is now when they add that third strand of DNA, like they're talking about, they're actually talking about that you are literally a hybrid and not human anymore.
Right.
And the blood contract of Jesus is specifically for the human race, if you would, if you want to call it a race, a humankind, mankind. If you're not mankind, you don't fall under the blood of Jesus.
Right.
100%. Simple. So you got to pay for your sins. That means the lake of fire.
Yeah, I have no desire. No desire for that, sir.
Right. And there are those of which I am one that believe that this type of technology is exactly what I was talking about. This mark, if you would, where for years we say, oh, it's a statue, it's an etching, because that's what it is. And I think it more leans to, if I read everything together, it more leans to it's actually engraving onto your DNA, just like we're seeing as now, changing your very image. And that's where it comes from. And it is the mark of the beast. Okay. Because right now our DNA actually has a cross in it. Isn't that cool? And it's Yod Hey Vav Hey, and it's all listed. It's really cool. Our DNA literally reflects the creator. So when you mess that up, you got problems.
Yeah. Big problem.
So yeah, Arrhenius, he gave us a little more insight too. How about Tertullian?
Don't know Remember him Tertullian? Either. Nope, don't know him either.
He was a turtle. He was one of the Ninja Turtles. Tertullian. No, he wasn't. Sorry.
I was fixing to say. I would have fallen for that a year ago, but not now.
So he was born in 155.
Okay.
And he's got in his treatise on the apparel of women. Hey, did we ever talk about that last week? Mm-mm. I don't think we ever got to it.
No, we didn't. No, we did not.
That's funny. But let's address it here since it's here. Tertullian discusses how certain angels fell due to their lust for human women, leading to the birth of giants. He mentions, for they, with all who instituted them, are assigned under condemnation to the penalty of death. Those angels, to wit, who rushed from heaven on the daughters of men, so that this ignominy also attaches to women. And that is where we saw in 1 Corinthians last week, and it said, if we remember, oh, where's that verse? I go, I don't know. It's somewhere.
You usually had have about 400 scriptures open.
Yeah, it was 1 Corinthians somewhere. And basically was talking about their long hair.
Let me try to look it up, too. I got another computer over here, Corinthians folks, 11, so if you 15. See me turn, that's what I'm doing.
And so it's 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Okay. And let me see. The glorious head. And it says something really weird. And then angels in 1 Corinthians 11. Let me look that one up. Okay,
I'm in chapter 11.
Okay, where's the woman? Yeah, it says, because of the angels. Let me look here.
Now, this right here, David, I think people are going to begin to try to equate this to the Muslims. I'm really afraid of this, and you're going to have to explain it, because... now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me and all these things, keep traditions, just I delivered them to you. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying and prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head, but every woman who prays or prophesies for her head uncovered dishonors her head. For that is one and the same as if her head were shaved. So Why don't you explain that one a little bit? Because, like I said, I know there's going to be a lot of people that are being tricked by the Islamic faith that mm-hmm. are going to point to this.
And the covering is talking about hair.
Okay, right there. Yeah, mm-hmm. gotcha.
Because it says, for the woman in verse 6, 1 Corinthians 11:6 says, for if the women be not covered, let her also be shorn. It was a shame for women to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. Mm-hmm. And here's why. If you go down to verse 9, it gets mm-hmm. kind of weird. Because we don't think about this.
Okay.
Neither was a man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman have power on her head because of the angels.
There we go, what? Right there.
Mm-hmm. What are you talking about, because of the angels?
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, neither is a man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. And this is like, the whole chapter is like one sentence.
Yeah.
Crazy to me, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
And he's not talking about like, oh, just like long hair. Some guys have a little longer hair today, and then we mm-hmm. see pictures of Jesus with long hair, and it's like, wait a minute.
How do you know, right?
So he's talking about, he's talking to a society who has all these things mm-hmm. in them, and the pagans and everything else. But this is a really deep discussion, but I want to talk about just this in verse 10. It says, because of the angels.
Okay.
All right. And people are like, what does that mean, because of the angels? Well, the short story is this. This is Tertullian, and this is what he's talking about on the apparel of women. It's because they were attracted to the women.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So this hair has to do with the angels. He's talking about the fallen angels, basically, who were attracted to them.
Mm-hmm.
So now your head's not—it's not covered. So it gets deeper into that, but that's how it attaches back to the women. And I don't want to get like open up that can of worms now.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, because we could
because
very easily.
We'll go for days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand.
But basically, that's what they're talking about. The fallen angels fell for the women because they were beautiful because of their long hair. Cover it up.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right? So that's where we are. And that's what Tertullian is talking about, the apparel of women. Cover up your head
mm-hmm.
because this is it. Not your face. Cover up your head.
Yeah.
Because they loved the long hair.
Yeah.
And there was another thing. They believed back then that it was the long hair of the woman that would actually draw up the seed of the man.
Mm.
When they were making love. So if you had short hair, you couldn't draw the seed up and you couldn't have pregnant and do your womanly duty.
But there's
or having
absolutely
a baby.
Nothing here that justifies the overdone suit, you know, the whatever they call it, the burqa. There's nothing there that says anything about
that
whatsoever. This is something that's just been amplified out for whatever reason they wanted to mm-hmm. do it. I don't know. It's stupid, but anyway.
Yeah, I mean, they just make up stuff as they go.
Yeah.
I mean, when you drink camel urine, that's what happens.
I just wanted to point that out real quick, David, because I don't want people getting hung up with Islam. You know, Islam's got nothing to do with Jesus Christ, trust me. Muhammad wanted to be talked about as a prophet, and he was rejected, and that's the reason that he got the problems mm-hmm. he's got now. That's the way I understand it.
And he couldn't read and married a six-year-old, so there's mm-hmm. that. But that's a whole nother can of worms.
That's another show. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry
Tertullian is talking about the angels and not being attractive, so they come and get you again.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Sorry all right. Then we have
go ahead.
Clement of Alexandria. Remember Clement?
Nope. Tell me about him.
I remember Kim Clement.
I remember Roger.
He was
Clement.
A modern day prophet. Oh, okay. I got to check and see, but he prophesied Trump. He even prophesied two terms, and then when he didn't have his second term, everyone's like, "Oh, he's a false prophet." Now he's got a second term. Maybe we should go revisit that again.
Yeah,
I don't
maybe.
Know. Yeah. So Clement, in his Ecclesiae Prophetica, acknowledges the account of angels who sinned and had relations with human women, leading to the birth of giants. He notes, after having transferred to men the magical knowledge, they, the angels, taught the causes of the stars' motions and the rest of astrology. the dividers of the days, the soothsayers, and those from whom the bowl declare the oracles, and the observers of birds and of augurs, and the interpreters of auspices and the sorcerers, and the observers of the signs and the casters of lots, and the angels who had obtained superior rank, having sunk into pleasures, told the women the secrets which had come to their knowledge, while the women, having their minds filled with these things, gave birth to giants. So we have a little more insight there. It wasn't just that they took these women. They took them and they taught them all sorts of these sorceries and stuff. Okay? And that this probably prepared them to have these giants, and maybe they were looking forward to it. Who knows? But we see now there's a bigger picture again, Clement of Alexandria. And all these people, they, you know, would have been threatened to say, hey, just, you know, forget all that stuff. No, 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 giants, it was Seth. All these people don't think it was Seth. All of them talk about actual angels coming down and doing this. So these passages, they basically...
Would you say it was commonplace?
Yeah, okay. I mean, this among the wise, yeah. And then they discounted the Gnostics because they came up with just some weird stuff, as if this isn't weird enough. But the passage will illustrate the early church fathers interpreted the sons of God as fallen angels who had relations with women, resulting in the birth of the Nephilim. Okay, so that's that. Why don't you share with people? We got a minute left. Take us out of the first half, and then we'll get into more books when you come back.
Okay, I'll be happy to do that. First of all, we do these shows for one reason, and that is to find that last individual to accept Jesus Christ before the rapture of the church. I know a lot of people discount the rapture, and you can do that all you want to, but it's going to happen. The Bible is clear on it if you really want to open your eyes and read about it. And if you would like to go with David and I and every other Christian living and dead in that moment, all you've got to do is give your life to Christ. Just say, Father, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. I know Jesus Christ is your son. I know he died for me. I know he spent 3 days in the tomb. I know he rose just like he said he would. I know he sits at your right hand, and I know he's coming back first for his church, and then God unleashes that wrath for 7 years I want no part of. I promise to follow you all the rest of the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Say it in your own words. And if you'll do that, you will be saved. Hopefully, we'll be back for the second half. We'll see. The rapture can happen at any time. Imagine a world where faith is fading, where the name of Jesus is rarely spoken. Now more than ever, the message of salvation simply must be shared. At The Last Christian, we are committed to spreading the gospel and preparing hearts for Christ's return. Through our radio shows, Bible teachings, interviews, devotionals, and prayer requests, we reach people across the globe with the truth of God's Word. Your support helps us to continue this vital mission, and as a token of our appreciation, we have special gifts waiting just for you, including exclusive resources designed to strengthen your faith and equip you to share the good news. Visit lastchristian.net today and learn more. Join us, pray with us, and be part of this incredible journey to bring hope to the world. Together, as Christians, we will share the invitation of eternal salvation around the world.
In a world where two kingdoms collide, understanding is key. Join us every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central for the C2K Report with hosts Rick Hidalgo and Randy Conway. Discover how to establish your house as an embassy of Christ and navigate the clash of two kingdoms. Learn practical steps towards self-governance, from authentication to setting up your house, and access a wealth of resources in our document library at c2kreport.com. Empower yourself with knowledge and take control of your spiritual and earthly journey. And don't forget to check out shopyourfarm.com, a virtual farmer's market connecting you with quality, faith-based products and services. For more information about the C2K Report, be sure to visit c2kreport.com and shopyourfarm.com.
KRRB, Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas. Ready to start your day on a new level? Meet Everyday Dose, the coffee alternative that's more than just a caffeine fix. Check out more and grab your first dose at everydaydose.com/hiddenday. Why it's different. Everyday Dose combines premium coffee with brain-boosting ingredients like mushrooms and collagen, giving you focus, energy, and mental clarity without the jitters or crashes. It's the clean energy your body craves. Check out these benefits you'll love. Say goodbye to coffee crashes. Boost your mental clarity and focus. Support your immune system and overall wellness. Feel energized naturally without the anxiety or jitters. Perfect for busy professionals, health enthusiasts, or anyone ready to upgrade their daily routine. Again, that's everydaydose.com/hiddenday.
And we're back.
Amen.
No rapture yet, but we're getting close.
Yes,
hey,
we
you
are.
Know, just March, what was it? Today. Mm. Yeah, wait, what's it? Yeah, actually, it's March 19th.
It is,
the,
yeah.
So the March 19th started the final year of this jubilee.
Mm. Okay.
It is the Anno Mundi. It's 5950. Okay. So we are in the final year of this jubilee. All right. Don't trust the Judaic Babylonian calendar that they have today.
Okay.
That is not correct. The correct one most likely is what we found in the Essenes, and Enoch kind of jives with it real close. Is the year 5950, which means this is the final year, and then we have that 50-year period of the final jubilee or the final generation.
I was going to ask you, does that mean the final generation? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so there are those who in antiquity, not just today, mm-hmm. but in antiquity, said a generation is a jubilee, and that would be the 50-year period. And we're entering in that right now. Now, that's when everything happens. It was the final jubilee of when Jesus came that ended in 70 AD. Then that was, remember, Jesus was crucified in 33, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then, so everything happened within that final generation.
Right.
So we are entering into that final generation, which means we're that much closer to the possible rapture, because you have the, remember, prophecy is esoteric. So we kind of got to look at all the possibilities.
Right.
And because it was a transition period, because Jesus was crucified early on during in that final jubilee, you know, because if it's 50 years earlier than 70, that's like in 20. So it had started his thinking and everything. And then it was early on in that he was crucified, and then all the church was built and everything. So that was all then.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have that same possibility now.
Yeah.
Okay. This is going to be this final one. And then we enter into the new generation. So that means we can see possibly the rapture and then the tribulation and then everything unwinding during this final one.
Mm-hmm.
So, and when we actually usher in that 6,000th year in 2075, and once that's over, we can just step right into a already built and succeeding millennial reign.
Yeah.
Similar to the way it was done last time, you know, when it took that little bit, when the time when they were building the church and everything, but everything happens in the last generation.
Yeah. Well, you know, I want to make it clear to people that, just because, you know, of what David was saying there doesn't mean that you're free and clear and for the next few years, or that the rapture can't happen right now.
That was my point, actually.
Yeah, there's no way to know when that rapture is going to happen. Only God knows that. You know, he made that clear. But I want to be real specific here, David, that if the rapture were to happen, that doesn't mean the tribulation kicks in on that same day. There can be a transition period, and that might be the thing that pushes it out toward the end of the generation. Does that make sense to you?
Yep. Yeah, because like I was saying, the fact that we're entering into it, just like the crucifixion was early on, and that final one before of that age,
yeah.
it, the rapture could be early on here.
Like now.
Because that would set in motion all the things necessary to prepare for the millennial reign.
Amen. Yeah. I just want to be clear on that. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, I mean, it could literally be up to that 7 years before, or it could be today because of, you know, previous things. So we have to just wait and see how God's going to unfold it all.
Yeah.
But 100% we are in that final generation.
Yeah.
We're and these things will start to happen. Well, let's just see what order they come in.
Yeah. I think it's lining up right now. But another show. Go ahead, David.
Big show. All right. So more stuff on the Giants. And you're a football fan, so it's not the New York Giants. I remember I actually was on that field like in high school.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. Our high school team got to play in Giants Stadium.
Oh, cool.
And it was cool. You know what it was like? It was like they just put down a gazillion rubber bands and then they ironed them. That's exactly what the field was like. This is weird, you know, and it's just like they flat ironed a gazillion rubber bands, and that's what the whole field was. Really weird, but they tore that down and they built another one.
Yeah, they're always changing turfs and all that. Yeah,
I don't know why. So in the Book of the Giants, it was actually another ancient text. Some of it they think was in Enoch and all that, but they actually found different pieces of it. And they don't have the whole thing all together, but when we take the pieces apart, it tells the stories of that. So it's an ancient text, and it expands upon the narrative of the Nephilim from Genesis 6, and fragments discovered among the Dead Sea Scrolls detail the exploits and visions of the giants, particularly focusing on figures like Ohyah and Haya. I don't know why they would call them that, but that's what they are.
Here I come again. You ready for this one?
Yeah.
You know, they always have been trying to talk about the evolution, and they say, you know, they got everything up to the monkey, but there's not that other step, and they'll never find that, by the way. But is it
I don't even
just,
know how a monkey got here.
Yeah, is it just possible that a lot of these things, you know, with the big heads and all this kind of crap that science has found over the years, aren't they finding giants? Isn't that what they're discovering?
They've discovered them for years. And what had happened is they wanted to hide that because it proved the Bible was true.
Right. Okay.
Well, and it's when just they started now, to push, yeah,
it's
evolution.
It's just now hitting me. I'm just catching on to that. Okay. Go ahead.
So back in the middle of the 1800s, when they started to push evolution, because they just didn't want to be beholden to God. So they're like, oh, we just got here by accident, which is retarded. But if that's the case, then they have to remove the evidence of the giants, because that proves that the Bible's true.
Yeah.
So I've seen Smithsonian and others.
I've seen some excavations, David. You know,
they have them. Yeah, you can look up old newspaper articles and such, and it says, "Hey, a giant found it." Abraham Lincoln talks about the giants. You know, and then Wild Bill, he talks about the giants and how the Indians. They have one story, Buffalo Bill, and he tells about the story of these giants that were so big. They can run and catch a buffalo, pick it up under one arm, tear a leg off, and eat it while running. That's how strong these things are. And that's from the Native Americans, and they would tell these stories.
Yeah.
And that's why they held up their hand, remember? Count the fingers?
I do.
So, yeah, and so all these stories are there. The newspaper articles are there. The pictures are there. But they keep on going and finding them and getting rid of them. I know so many stories of museums that had elongated skulls and giant skeletons, and then all of a sudden they're missing.
Yeah, all of a sudden.
Oh, no, no, we never had that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you did. So they were there. Yeah. So if you really want to do even a modern one, just look up in 1700s, 1800s, and finding giants all over the United States.
Okay. I'm going to do that.
That's always fun.
Yeah.
But the Book of Giants tells about the experiences and the dreams they had foretelling their destruction. Okay? Mm-hmm. And this is why they went to Enoch for an interpretation in chapter 15. Remember? What's mm-hmm. going on? Because mm-hmm. we were having dreams that God's going to destroy us. Mm-hmm. And then so Enoch's, he like goes to God and said, oh, these guys want me to come and talk to you. And he remember when Enoch 15, he says, they're supposed to be
watching out
interceding
for
you.
Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, here you are interceding for them. Tell them that they left their first estate, that they had women that they weren't supposed to.
Yeah.
And they're going to the lake of fire.
Yeah, they're out.
Yeah. Game over. And this text emphasizes the theme of divine judgment and the consequences of the watcher's transgression. And remember, it's fragmented. Mm-hmm. All right, they got little bits and pieces. So here's a couple. It says, thereupon all the giants and the Nephilim took counsel together and said one to another, the flood is coming and wiping out all the earth.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And another one was, Oh, Yah said to them, I've been forced to have a dream. The sleep of my eyes vanished to let me see a vision. Now I know that on Gilgamesh. And that's it.
Okay.
So that's where the story of Gilgamesh comes from. He's one of these giants. So they tell the narrative of how he was the guy that was saved in the flood. And that you should read these and then do these chants. So this way they can come back into bodies. And that's what happened with, you know, Nimrod.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Remember Noah's grandson?
Yeah, finding this stuff. Yeah, finding it and I guess chanting it, right?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So he was doing incantations. Mm-hmm. So in the Book of Enoch, we got an excerpt here. It says, so we talk about Enoch a lot. And it says, the great-grandfather of Noah, the text provides expanded account of the fall of the watchers, which we've done, and the angels who descended to earth and fathered the Nephilim. And it delves into their teachings of forbidden knowledge. Remember? So that's what we got from one of the early church fathers, teaching them forbidden knowledge to humanity and ensuing corruption. So now we got the story of them. So you see how the picture is coming together now.
Right.
They had dreams. They were teaching knowledge to the women. That's why they had the babies.
Mm-hmm.
And it describes Enoch's journeys and visions and his intercession on behalf of the fallen angels.
Mm-hmm.
And Enoch's cool because he says, oh, and this is how the stars work. And this is where the sun goes. And this is where the snow comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about it like in precise days. And this day it's going to do this and then this and then this and then this. All right, I get it.
Mind-blowing, right. Mm-hmm.
So here's from First Enoch. And they became pregnant and bare great giants whose height was 3,000 ells, who consumed all the acquisitions of men. So everything they gathered, all their gathering of the fruit and all that, and even their animals, they ate them. And when men could no longer sustain them, the giants turned against them and devoured mankind.
Mm-hmm.
They actually started devouring each other at that point, too. So remember Jubilees too.
Yes.
So this is, some people call it the lesser Genesis, when I actually think it's a bigger Genesis.
I just call it a reference book, but you know, that's just me.
Mm-hmm. But it really does. It just expands on Genesis. It's cool. So the text retells events from Genesis and Exodus, offering additional details about the Nephilim and their role in early human history.
Mm-hmm.
Underscores the moral and ethical violations that led to the great flood. All right, Ness, here we go. And lawlessness increased on all the earth, and all flesh corrupted its way. Alike men and cattle and beasts and birds and everything that walks on the earth, all of them corrupted their ways and their orders, and they began to devour each other.
Yeah.
So more insight. They started to eat each other.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The whole world was, I mean, if I'm understanding this correctly, I mean, we've got animals now involved in this and birds and all this stuff.
All
right?
Flesh corrupted itself. Mm-hmm. I heard a guy said that some of those crazy dinosaurs were actually half-breeds too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he said he surmised that Tyrannosaurus Rex, because he had those short arms, and he said that was a cross between a human and a giant alligator.
Yeah, it's very possible.
I was like, an interesting thought. I don't know if that's true. Because they had everything else. They had centaurs and minotaurs and satyrs and mermaids. Why not an alligator?
Yeah.
We shall know. We'll find out. You know what's really cool, Joe? Is God has a storage bank of all the DNA of all the animals he created.
Okay, I didn't know that.
For two reasons. Number one, to get the corruption out. We're going to start fresh with the brand new batch of uncorrupted. And then to weed out all the hybrids. Yeah, that's, what's that called when the plants, they got, you know, heirloom. Heirloom seeds. So he's got the heirloom data bank. I wonder where he's keeping it. Some people, that's why they're trying to find Noah's Ark. They're like, there's got to be a DNA data bank in there somewhere.
I don't think they'll ever find
Jesus
it.
Has it.
I don't think they'll ever find it. Not the real one.
But here's the deal. So that means all those cool animals that were there before the flood, like I get to go and maybe I'll have dodo birds as pets.
Yeah, see them. Yeah.
Yep. That's cool. I want a dodo bird, you know? And then maybe all the mammoths, because they were cool.
Yeah.
Although some people say they're still around. If you sneak into different places, you'll find them. And maybe a plesiosaur.
If so, they're going to be, I mean, you maybe you'll find a wild beast like that. But the thing is that when you're in heaven, they will all be so peaceful. I'll just walk up to them and just tell them like a little puppy.
Like Dino the dinosaur, remember?
Yeah,
exactly. He was a plesiosaur, wasn't he? One of the Flintstones, little one, but I want a plesiosaur, and I'm going to ride him across the ocean. I'll name him Phil. All right. So in the book of Jasher, remember Jasher? How many people heard of Jasher? Raise your hand if you've heard of the book of Jasher.
Just I think.
I see a lot of people out there.
Oh, okay. All right.
Nah, that's a good one. Now, here's the deal. It's Jasher, actually, and it means upright, the book of the upright. So there's a lot of speculation on it, and we have several different versions of it. Some people think that the book referred to as a book of Jasher is actually Jubilees.
Okay.
And then there are some who surmise that it was just a later writing of people putting the stories together. Okay, so here's the stories, and just like if you and I wrote one today, we wouldn't consider it canonical. It'd just be like, hey, you know, the book of Last Christian.
Right. Exactly.
And that I kind of lean more towards that it wasn't actually an inspired book, but just a collection of history.
Yeah, more like gathering information from different sources and putting it together.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of like that, because it was the book of the upright.
Yeah.
It was just, hey, this is what the upright did.
Okay. You know? Makes sense.
Like Gad the seer. You know, he wrote some stuff. David had a seer, and his name was Gad. So he wrote a bunch of cool stuff, too, and he had a few prophecies. It wasn't considered scripture, but it's a nice writing.
Yeah.
Okay. Who doesn't love Gad the seer? Come on. Get real, folks. All right. So in Jasher, and the reason I bring it up is not just because I'm saying, hey, this is something we have to do. I'm bringing it up because this is an extra biblical book that is still talking about the giants.
Right.
So it's the narrative is there that, you know, oh, do you really believe there was giants? Well, here's another book of people back then who knew that there were giants. Chapter 4 says, this chapter describes a moral decline of humanity before the great flood, and it mentions the sons of men corrupted their ways and engaged in various transgressions. Specifically, verse 18 highlights the intermingling of different species. So this is interesting. Let's read this. And their judges and rulers went to the daughters of men and took their wives by force from their husbands according to their choice. And the sons of men who in those days took from the cattle of the earth, the beasts of the field, the fowls of the air, and taught them the mixture of animals of one species with another.
Ouch.
In order therewith to provoke the Lord. Mm-hmm. And God saw the whole earth, and it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its ways upon the earth, all men and all animals.
Which is just backing up with the question that I asked and that you answered, that everything, mm-hmm. everything was corrupt. So that also makes sense to me because of Noah's Ark. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, he took two of everything, right, mm-hmm. on the Ark. But animals had to go too. They had been corrupted mm-hmm. just like men had. I've always wondered that, and here we go. I mean, I'm seeing it very, very clearly.
Yep. And now we see that they were judges and rulers. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just random angels. Mm-hmm. It was these that were mentioned in Enoch, mm-hmm. you know, Azazel and his whole crowd over there.
Right.
They were the ones that were judges and rulers with mm-hmm. God on Mount Hermon. And it's like, hey, let's go down there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, so it emphasizes that. And it shows that they didn't, you know, they weren't like courting wives and, hey, let me buy you flowers and see if she loves me. No, it says right here, they took the wives by force from mm-hmm. their husbands, any ones that they wanted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then they started mixing all the animals.
Yeah. And right? by and the way, that's happening right now today, people. If you don't believe me, you know, just it's all over scientific books everywhere right now, what they're trying to do with people and with animals and fowl and everything else. It's exactly yep. the same thing. Again, it's just as in the days of Noah. Here we go again.
Yep. Just look up glow-in-the-dark mice, because there's a
good
species
point.
Of jellyfish that actually glows in the dark, so they mm-hmm. took that strand of DNA and they put it in mice and made them glow in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
Don't believe me? Look it up.
Look it up.
I want a glow-in-the-dark mouse, though. I got to be honest.
I don't want a mouse, period.
Yeah, because that's probably not so bad a Nephilim.
We fight mice in the country, David. I won't have nothing.
Yeah, but if they're glow in the dark, they're easy to find. You know, and then the eagles can find them at night.
There you go.
The owls. Yeah, the owls. That'd be even better. So chapter 7 of Jasher says, this chapter details what the genealogies following the flood, listing the descendants of Noah's sons. It mentions various nations and groups that emerged, some of which are associated with giants in other biblical texts. For instance, the descendants of Ham include Canaan, whose lineage is linked to the Anakim, a race of giants mentioned in the Bible. And that's here it says, and the sons of Canaan were Zidon, Heth, Amori. It's like the Amorites. There was Amori, Girgashi, Havi, Arki, Seni, Arodi, Zimodi, and Kamothi. And the term Amori refers to the Amorites, who are described in other scriptures as formidable and tall people, often associated with giants.
Okay.
So there's more insights. The book of Jasher mm-hmm. talks about how these were fallen angels who
right.
stole the women, not the Sethite theory.
Mm-hmm.
So for any scholar, you know, that's all they teach at most biblical colleges. They're,
mm-hmm.
they're kind of useless, actually.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, I had a friend, he went 8 years. He's like, oh, proud. 8 years, I got my theology degree. Well, this says right here, giants.
Uh-huh.
Well, that will say on the sons of Seth. I said, seriously? 8 years. And you didn't read that yourself?
That's because he went to cemetery. Yeah, he went to cemetery. Yeah. yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was like an 8 inch. And I said, look, it's 1,000 years. This is one day. Oh, that means it's. No, read it. Oh, they didn't believe that back then. Okay, well, here's 7 early church fathers
mm-hmm.
that says it's 1,000 years is one day. It's a 7,000-year earth history.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. So you paid all that money, and all I had to do was open the book and read it. So don't trust your schooling so much.
No, no. I mean, truly, I've heard it described that way. If, you know, people that go to seminary are actually
to
going
cemetery.
To cemetery, you know, because they bury the truth, you know.
Do you remember Flava Flav?
You know, I've heard that, but I don't have any idea what it is.
Yeah, he's a rapper. I think he was
okay.
From the 90s. Flava Flav. He's got like gold teeth and all that crazy.
Yeah, dudes. Okay, yeah.
Everybody loves Flava. But the original gangster, the OG of Flava Flav, was Flavius Josephus. Mm-hmm. Okay. Check him out.
Okay.
He even wrote this, and all he was a historian.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And he wrote this. This is from Antiquities of the Jews. For many angels of God accompanied with women and begat sons that proved unjust. Mm. You know, he's a little light on this politically correct. They were unjust.
Yeah. He didn't hammer it home. Yeah. Okay.
Yep. And despisers of all that was good on account of the confidence they had in their own strength. For the tradition is that these men did what resembled the acts of those who the Grecians call giants. Mm-hmm. So even the Greeks had their stories of the giants, as we well know. Mm-hmm. All right. And who was Hercules, remember?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So Hercules, he was a half-breed. His mother was a human and his father was Zeus, right?
Okay.
I forgot his mother's name. But there's the story. Mm-hmm. The mighty men of old. You got one of the gods had a wife, and then they had this son, and he was a giant. Mm-hmm. They called him Hercules. He was a great guy. We love mm-hmm. this guy. You know, he's okay. Greatest guy. He's not. He was a Nephilim. Mm. And we see all these stories. Even there's something called the Book of Og.
Okay.
That talks about Og in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's just, it's not really a good book. It's just, it's kind of, no one thinks it's real.
Okay.
But the point is, not that whether it's a real book or not, the Book of Og, some people think it's a translation of the Book of the Giants. But basically, it's just talking about Og. Remember Og of Bashan?
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah. It's a made up fantasy about his life or something.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the deal. The point is, they still thought that back then. Mm. Mm-hmm. That there was these giants and this is where they came from.
Yeah.
So regardless of Og, you know, the other books are pretty good. Yeah. So that's kind of that. I mean, that's where we can go with all the other writings that are about the giants. We can, you know, if you guys look around today, there's lots of people talking about them today too. Steve Quayle has some information when they went over to Afghanistan. They were actually looking for the giants over there. They think they found him and they wanted to get their DNA out so they can extract it and make super soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
And look that one up for Steve Quayle. As much as he's a hyper sensationalist, he's got some pretty fascinating information about the giants.
Okay. Yeah, it's good.
That's it. I'm done yapping. You take us out.
Oh man, I'll tell you, I learned a lot, David. I really did. And I hope everybody out there did. We try to present these midweek Bible studies just that. We don't throw any news in here. But what we're trying to do is lead you on the pathway to salvation. We can't save you. There's only one person that can, and that's Jesus Christ. He gave his life for you. And if you will simply accept him and acknowledge the fact that he is God and that he is coming back, he is the creator of everything. And he's the finisher of everything. So please, accept Jesus Christ before it's too late. That's our goal here, and we hope that you'll do it. Until next time, everybody, we have enjoyed this one, and David will have another of our weekly comprehensive Bible studies next week. Until next time, good night, and God bless you.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show, and be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.